This is Laura Legere of the Courtroom Observer Committee, and this is January 13th, 2016. And what I would love to go over tonight is Jan Patsnik and I, and Jan, I guess Jan, I don't know what your last name is.
Holland.
And Carl and I have really updated the call to action page as far as how to protocols, and we made up sample call scripts for the clerk and the judge and the sheriff, and I wanted to go over those with you tonight. So if everybody goes to nationallibertyalliance.org and they go to the committee's page, the Courtroom Observer, and go to the call to action page, I'd like to just read that so that everybody knows they can print it, you know, print it up and take it with you. So anyway, this is the best that Carl could do for now because I really wanted it bigger, but we had problems with taking it from Word to put it on there. So that's what he could do right now. But anyway, so this is court supporter sample call scripts and pointers. So not just being a observer, which is really important. We're going to go over that page too. So we need everyone to call the following servants and tell them to obey the law. Please adjust your calling to the victim's time zone and call between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. If you live within the reasonable driving distance, please attend a hearing scheduled to help the victims. And then you can go to the link below, which is the Courtroom Observer Protocols, but it's also on the committee under Courtroom Observer Committee, and it down, and you'll see the link there too. So the attitude, we are to proceed with honor and humility. We are not to lose our composure. Keep it short and to the point. Do not get into a debate. Be humbly authoritative. Talk in a matter-of-fact manner and move on. Here are call script samples for the clerk, judge, sheriff, and prosecuting attorney that you can use. It is best not to sound like you are reading a script, and it's just a sample. Make it yours and be yourself. So if you're not comfortable saying, you know, what's in here, you know, you can make up your own, but you can use these pointers as well. So I'm just going to read them. So, hello, my name is Laura, and I'm calling on behalf of Jan Patchnick's case number, whatever his number is, 999. I am a supporter of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, and I'm in the state of Virginia. The grand jury has been informed that Jan Patchnick's constitutional and unalienable rights of due process are being violated because of mortgage fraud. We are expecting you to honor your oath that you swore to obey the Constitution. There has been no due process in this case, which is required as per the Fifth Amendment, before seizure of property can occur. So it just depends on whether it's that or it's incarceration. You just pick, you know, you'll see their case. The next one is a little stronger. So I don't feel like we need to go through the first part of it, but because it sounds the same, I'm going to start in the middle. We are here to bring to justice all judges, clerks, sheriffs, and prosecuting attorneys not obeying the law of the land. We're expecting you to honor your oath to obey the Constitution. There has been no due process in this case as required for the Fifth Amendment. And I did put the Fifth Amendment at the bottom as a footnote so people can read that too. And then here's the sheriff's call that's very interesting, I thought. Jan Patchnick really helped me with this one. So I'm going to start in the middle as well. So or maybe towards the end. So we the people are here to support you, provided you are supporting us as you have sworn. You are the constitutional authority. Do you intend to uphold your constitutional duty and protect Jan Patchnick's rights? So those are just examples, you know, to do. And, you know, when you end up in a conversation with somebody, you know, it's not just like that. But if you go to voicemail, you can say it just like that if you want. And then there's bullet points for, mortgage fraud. So read the bullet points and comments below for ideas and instructions, and also attend the Courtroom Observer Weekly meeting like you are. So in mortgage fraud, the lending institutions go into the courts to get a summary judgment without due process, and the judge signs off on it. There's no certified affidavit, and there's no any of these points you can use as their due process is being violated because these things. But you'll find out from what the Courtroom Observer requester has said in their case. So the lending company auctions off the house in a phony auction to a holding company. The holding company goes to a town court to evict a lawful property, a landlord-tenant grievance for back rent. And then I actually took the points out of the document that he read on, kind of reiterated those. So the mortgage company or bank gives notice of default without judicial process. The mortgage company or bank gives notice of substitution of trustee without judicial process. The mortgage company or bank gives notice of sale without judicial process. And they also commence a public auction without judicial process. And they use the aforesaid documents to transfer title without judicial process. And the mortgage company or bank file or fraudulent eviction acting as landlord without judicial process. So Robert Overhill, he gave me this note, and I just put it in there for people's information, and that is, he said, do not let the register, commonly referred to as a register of deeds, file any items registered by the register of deeds as miscellaneous. So I guess that's if you're having to file all these papers, you make sure that they don't put it in miscellaneous, because then that means it's basically nothing, I guess. So, and then there's general ideas for the sheriff. Pretty much, into the call. But one of the things that it has in here that I like is if they try to tell you that, you know, there is no more common law, that it's been revoked, we answer that the Seventh Amendment of the Constitution establishes the rules of the common law. We are the people ordained and established this Constitution for the USA that states that the basic foundation of the American common law. And then it says, you know, why are you not taking care of this case? They are violating the Constitution. Tell them you were elected by the people to protect the people. What are you going to do about this? And then it states Constitution Article 6, Section 2. If any attorney is telling you to do something different, that is unconstitutional. So common law, they say, has been revoked. It is in the Constitution, the Seventh Amendment. In suits, and this is what it says, in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. Common law can never be revoked. And then the Fifth Amendment down here that we've stated, that we've said in the call script, is no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. So, you know, if you have a conversation, if you're actually having more of a dialogue with the person that you're talking to on the other end, and, you know, they want, maybe they need to hear that too. So that's what I have so far on on the for calling the courts. So I haven't gone to the. So does anybody have any questions or comments?
Yes, I should be corrected that miscellaneous file in some counties is that actually is filed properly, because that's the category that they have available, and it is actually a proper category. Nikki, are you around? You can interject onto that. Nikki did some research onto that. Can we hear Nikki?
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't catch the question. We had questions. There was a couple of us who had questions through Facebook about where she was reading from, and you just sent the link, and I just sent it out to them.
Okay.
So what was the question again?
Miscellaneous file. We need to correct that some counties, the miscellaneous file is actually a correct file the way they have it set up, and it's actually a plus instead of a minus. Can you interject onto that, Nikki, with your research?
In Pennsylvania, what I found is that through the civil venue, there are several things that are of course, handled through the civil venue. And one of the things is miscellaneous file, and in the miscellaneous is quo warrantos and common law. And that is in Pennsylvania. I don't know about other states. So check your civil, how your courts are structured, because a lot of times what I find is that people just are listening to people who have either won cases or into the common law as far as some of the fellows that we hear on the tapes and all of that. However, they never bother to really check to how the courts are structured. So do your own independent investigation of your state courts and find out if there is a bona fide venue for the common law and quo warrantos. Here in Pennsylvania, I know that we have it, and I suggest that everyone look into it themselves, okay?
But this is actually, it has to do with the Register of Deeds file. It's not just, basically, it doesn't have to do with other documents other than your deed.
Correct, and that we here in Pennsylvania we have the Recorder of Deeds for that function, and then what we did when we had the election here, and I'm just talking about the county that I'm in, Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania, because what I found through the Right to Know is that the Clerk of Courts for Lackawanna County is actually situated in Lackawanna, New York. This was the last county in Pennsylvania. So there's an interesting history behind here. Joe Biden's family is from here. Hillary Clinton's family is from here. And there's the Albright Museum, but library up here. So, and a lot of our elective representatives from Lackawanna County or from this area, northeastern Pennsylvania, has been on the board of directors for the United Nations Association of Northeast Pennsylvania. So we have an interesting history here. However, when we did our election here, knowing this, what we did was we went ahead and recorded the election and the newspaper article that was printed about us with the Recorder of Deeds electing to have a common law grand jury in Lackawanna County. We went ahead and we recorded it, and then what we did was we sent it to the sheriffs, incoming sheriff, outgoing sheriff, and went ahead and sent it to be recorded in the court, and they automatically put it in the correct venue. So
meaning the
that's
miscellaneous.
How we found out about that.
And they put it in
miscellaneous.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to take that out. That doesn't need to be there.
Well, and like I said, I don't know if Pennsylvania is the only one that the courts are structured like that still has a venue for common law and quo warrantos. So check with your, there's other people on here from other states, and I said, go ahead and check before, and they'll have to make the decision of whether to do that way or whether to just record the deed. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But in a way, I'm not sure if it really belongs in this thing at all. I mean,
you're correct. I mean, but I'm just getting on where you're reading from. So
right.
I somehow or another, I missed the link and I wasn't able to find it. And I've been kind of messing around here trying to find it. There was a couple of us. Okay, so I'll let you go on because it's interesting. Thank you.
You have it now. You have the link on the call to action page, right?
Yes, we have it now. Jan just gave it to us prior to him asking the question, you know, to me. Okay.
All right. So before I move to the Courtroom Observer Protocol page, does anybody have anything else to say about what, you know, this new tweaked version or anything?
Southern California, that I know. It didn't sound like Barbie and Barbie. It sounded like a...
It's being mailed at the phone number.
Is a weird,
okay. I guess nobody.
I got an unrelated question.
Okay.
Well, she's kind of rude, like a bitch kind of way.
just because I haven't been up to date on what's been going on with a lot of the NLA Facebook groups. Can anybody enlighten me on what's happening? Like, two of the groups that I was on in the Facebook NLA, the names changed, and I don't know what's happening.
Justin Tanner, Jan, you got some comments on that?
Well, there is a new one put up yesterday or today for the IRC only. So it's has the IRC name on it, and they have the original one, the National Liberty Alliance one. If you pull up the new IRC one, it'll come up with the logo, same logo and stuff as the other web page. And the new one, the IRC one, will be used for reporting stuff like affidavits that we've gotten for things that we're doing in the IRC. It'll be directly related to the IRC rather than the NLA in general. So those two are there.
Okay.
There were some others maybe that had the same name. They were run by other people.
Right. So because I removed myself from one group that didn't look like it was part of the NLA anymore. And I want to make sure that I'm on the right group, because anybody can create a group and name it whatever they want. But I just want to make sure that whatever group I'm on is the right one. So
I'm going to the Investigative Response Committee. That's one of them. That's the new one. Just search it.
Okay. Yeah, I have that
one. The other one is just
I have it right here.
Okay, and the other is just the National Liberty Alliance one.
So is the other one a group or is it just a page?
No, I think it's a group. I think it's much bigger than the IRC one.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah,
yep.
Laura, back on your question there about that note that we put in. I think that was just misstated, because some people were filing the writs through the clerk, not the Register of Deeds, but through the clerk of courts, and putting things in miscellaneous. And a lot of them, that's the dead letter office. You file it in there, and it's not an action item. So that's probably why whoever gave it to you, Mr. Robert, gave it to you.
Right. So I'm just going to take it out.
The Register of Deeds is totally different.
It's too confusing. So I'm going to take that out. But anyway, what I want to do is go to the Courtroom Observer Protocol page, because I actually tweaked that one too, and this really has to do with also what people need to do as far as filing affidavits. Now, when we get toward the end, that's where that's going to come in. But anyway, I just want to read this.
Laura?
What?
One moment.
Yeah.
Those people that had filed the habeas corpus in the federal courts that were put in miscellaneous files, Pennsylvania would be one of those places where actually that was a good file to put it into, because they had it reserved for common law.
Right. That's what Nikki was saying.
Right. Right. Now it's okay. Move on. Where are you going now?
I went to the Courtroom Observer Protocol page. Go to when you go to courtroom observer committee, and you scroll down one. Server protocol.
I'm not driving up there now.
Everybody got that?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm just going to read this, and we're going to discuss the affidavit thing at the very end with instructions for that. And I think that was the main piece that was missing. I think people just didn't know once they went and what were they supposed to do with their paperwork. I mean, their affidavit, or were they supposed to even, or their notes. So anyway, the importance of courtroom observers cannot be overstated because it provides a mutual defense pact with your friends, family, and neighbors. An assault weapon upon one is an assault upon all. Be a cohesive unit that can appear for any matter in the courts. No case is too small. You will be able to document the corruption and criminality within your local courts. The courthouse lobby and parking lot are the best places to recruit new National Liberty Alliance members, so always remember that the courthouse is your friend. Here are some suggestions for protocols. So, okay, so one, never just come later. Be neat and professional. Wear a button-down shirt with a tie or other similar dress clothes. This removes the tactic of separation that attorneys use when wearing formal clothes. Wear around your neck a medical-style ID with your photo in the center, nationallibertyalliance.org across the top and courtroom observer across the bottom. Print shops like Staples will scan your ID or license photo and laminate in plastic for $10. Now note, big note, if you know the court is hostile to of NLA, you may skip the ID and be an anonymous witness to the case. So one of the things that I'm noticing when I listen to people is more and more people, it sounds like, you know, they know who we are, and they're starting to really, you know, sink their feet in the sand or the cement and fight, you know, like no matter what NLA says, I'm not going to do it. So in some cases, we may need to just be anonymous and do it quietly. So carry a 9-inch by 12-inch notebook and a pen and take notes for everything you see and hear, since even the small things matter. Many court records are altered, so your notes are very important. Film everything. The most important events happen when you least expect. And outside the courthouse are wide open for filming. Should you encounter resistance to filming inside the courtroom, you may cite the following case precedents, which is Fordyce versus City of Seattle, Ninth Circuit Court, 1995. The First Amendment protects the right to film matters of public interest. And B, Smith versus City of Cumming, 11th Circuit Court, 2000. The First Amendment protects the right to gather information about what public officials do on public property, and specifically a right to record matters of public interest. And then I put another note. The court may intimidate you to not film, and if so, comply and use your notepad. It is more important to stay in the courtroom to witness and take notes, because some people that have been filming, this has happened, where they basically just get thrown out of the court, period, and we don't want that. So, and then have business cards and flyers briefly explaining what the NLA does to hand out to people around the courthouse. Do this in the parking lot, and the lobby, but not in the courtroom itself or in front of any doorways. Smile and be friendly while still remaining firm in your resolve. Beginning your mission with a prayer is helpful. And afterward, this is the important part. Afterward, go to coffee and type up your affidavit testimonial. Only facts, quotes from judge, clerk, bailiff, attorneys, prosecution, and defendant. No swearing or angry extras. And then I volunteered to take some pressure off of Linda, and Jan let me, Holland let me, said it was okay. Scan an email to legierlaura@gmail.com, which is me, for review. After review, notarize and make two copies, one for the victim. Keep the original for yourself. Scan an email to intake@nationallibertyalliance.org. Courtroom observers are extremely important because your affidavit is evidence and crucial to the case for now and into the future. Your presence in the courtroom influences the judge and the prosecutor to behave better. Now, One of the things about, I know people are anxious and, you know, they want things to be in their favor right away because we're helping them. And it just doesn't mean that that might happen right away. But all this is evidence to keep, because once we get into the courts, we can use that evidence to go back and make them accountable. So if it doesn't happen in your favor right this minute, okay. So anybody have any comments or questions?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
What does go to coffee mean?
Well, after the...
go for a drink.
Go for
Is that what it means?
Go to a coffee house after the case.
Oh, okay.
And put your affidavit together in a group.
I was wondering...
Although,
could go to a bar, I guess. Depends on the.
I have another question. I know for a fact up here in Wyoming County, the backward folk that they are, they have a big sign as you enter the main lobby there before you get subjected to their metal detector search. A big sign saying, "Absolutely no cameras."
What about cell phones?
No cameras.
No cameras. In the courtrooms, no cameras. They're not allowing cameras, period.
There's some courts that don't let you have phones, even. You leave the phones behind.
So wait, can you actually film the sign? I mean,
I probably can. I brought my camera in. It's just the fact that you're not allowed to use it.
Right, so I would just film the sign, but it's just important for you to get in the courtroom and take your notepad. They're nervous about that, too.
Well,
so
hopefully tomorrow, my date with the sheriff will be a success, and I am going to give him those A and B examples and ask him to explain himself.
Okay.
Violation of the law.
Correct.
Yeah.
On number 9 also, the second should-be sentence is just a phrase. You need to finish that up. Starting only facts, quotes from judge, clerk, bailiff, attorneys, prosecution, and defendant should be recorded. Or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Only, I see. Okay, got it.
No, don't put Make it something different.
Okay. I just got where you were saying anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just add it. Yeah.
Okay. I got that.
Another suggestion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
When you have their make two copies, one for a victim, keep the original for yourself. Correct that into make three originals. Keep one original and the other two for the victim, because the cost to make one original, two or three, is insignificant. So you will have three backups, which will be originals.
Actually, that's true. You can get any notary will do three of them anyway.
Do three of them and keep one for yourself in a file for affidavits. And have your victim put his affidavits, originals, in another. And then you can also scan in PDF to wherever else you want to.
But why? Wait, what are you saying? Why do we think we need three?
It's just a spare. Extra spare. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Just kind of a comment. Instead of using the word victim, how about we use the word accused?
You know what? I like that better. I really do.
Yeah, because we want to be positive about this. Okay,
accused.
Thank you.
No, I like it. It's just that I was taking what was already there and kind of using some of theirs.
Well, Nikki, the accused, you can have the plaintiff that is in the right, and you can have the defendant in the right. So have one. So how would we change that too?
Well, the plaintiff has got quite a bit more.
I understand, but the plaintiff could be the one that's the that's on our side. We are the plaintiffs. And we also
exactly.
can be the defendant. If
we're okay, so use the word... Yeah, so use the word plaintiff or defendant, you know, with the word accused. And
right.
Because, you know, it gets into the spiritual realm. There is always the brute beast type, you know, the Galatians 5, you know, flesh. But when it turns over to being the accuser, it takes on a satanic realm. So, you know, and we don't want to be victimized. We want to resist. So there's some spiritual wording there that I think is relevant. But, you know, it's
plaintiff,
just my preference.
Comma,
defendant,
brackets, accused. Right? Plaintiff, defendant, plaintiff, comma, defendant, brackets, accused. Correct, Nikki?
Yeah, whatever they want to use and they feel comfortable with, but rather than the word victim.
Right.
How about the accused plaintiff defendant?
That's good, too. Yeah.
That's better yet. Thank you.
Is the plaintiff accused?
The plaintiff
generally
would
they
be
are,
accused. Yes. Because that's a counter plaintiff.
Yeah.
Okay, Brett, I think that's good. I really was having problems with that too, but it was already there, so I kind of was using
it. Well, the victim is the victim in any instance, so it was general.
Right.
Yeah, but a victim, like Nikki says, it's a negative. We want this to be positive.
We want to be. We're empowered. We're being empowered by this.
Amen.
And we're standing up for ourselves, so we don't feel like we're a victim. We are definitely, you know, being harassed, but we're standing up to them.
So what's the finality of that last Mary said? What was that, Mary? How did it go?
Sorry, I was muted. Accused plaintiff defendant.
Yeah, plaintiff defendant. Yeah, I got that.
That doesn't make any sense.
Thank you.
Anything else about all this?
Yeah, if you want to speak, unmute yourself. If you're not speaking, mute yourself. There's background noise that kicks in. That'd be great.
Hello, am I muted right now?
You're open, Ollie.
Okay, a comment and a question. Months ago, I went on eBay. I think they were $10, $12. I bought these glasses. They've got a camera in them. And these are better black glasses. In fact, you can't tell the difference between them and my old ugly black military glasses. And then they got a mini USB plug on where you can charge and you can download the video onto your laptop or your PC. Now, I told the gals over at the office, I'm going to get those. And so bring them over. I walked in with them. They didn't know I had them on. And then I'll tell you what, we looked at the video. We fell on the floor. It is high definition video. The sound and the video is awesome.
Now, Where did you get them?
Off of eBay. Just go on eBay and search spy camera or you know, just search spy camera, and they're very cheap. Like I say, $10-$15.
What? And it just looks like you're wearing sunglasses in court.
No, with me, it'd be looking like I'm wearing my bifocals. So they wouldn't know the difference between those and my bifocals.
Well, that is a great idea.
If you get busted, they have a court order by the judge. And they catch you filming that, what do you think they might be able to do? I know of a court watcher that was sitting there with pen and paper on a regular basis, and a judge pointed him out, and he got about 30 days in jail just for being a court watcher. So now you got these specs on your nose, and all of a sudden you're busted. What do you think they might want to do? I don't think I would risk it.
I don't know. It would depend on the case and the court and all this and that. I understand what you're saying. My question is this. You talk about affidavits, and this question's been in my mind for a long time. these affidavits, you could use them in court. But what's the difference between that affidavit and a sworn affidavit? Would a sworn affidavit carry more weight, or how do you, you know, you, can you make a sworn affidavit and notarize it, or what? Do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Well, isn't a sworn affidavit, what, that, I thought that's what we were, I mean, I thought an affidavit was a document.
Notarized?
Notarized was swearing what you said, what you...
Okay, that's my question. I didn't know that. You know, that when you notarize it, then that.
Yeah. Oh, real quick.
Comment on that affidavit.
What's going on?
On that affidavit, you need it is either a swearing by oath or an affirmation. Either way, and you have that in the body of the affidavit at the beginning. And then below is your story of truth, and then at the bottom is where the notary signs off. So if you follow the example that is on the website, you'll do well.
Okay.
So do you know where to, because I need to put the link up where it is on the website, because I have them in my files here, and...
Carl will help you put that in the right place.
Right, and I've been just emailing people the affidavit. So, let me see here. Which one is this? Nope, that's not the right one. I was just going to read you the top of the one that National Liberty Alliance actually has. Which one? Oh, here it is. Okay. Yeah, it's actually pretty good. It says, I, Laura Legere, affiant, lawful age, qualified and competent to testify to and having first-hand knowledge of the following facts, do hereby swear that the following facts are true, correct, and not misleading. That's the top of it. Then you write. So that's a sworn affidavit.
You may want to add to
that.
That
answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah.
You may want to add to that to the best of my knowledge.
Well, anybody can do whatever they want to it if they want. I mean, I just got...
To the best of your knowledge, because sometimes your memory might fail. So you're putting this together to the best of your knowledge. So that
people
gives
can
you a little wiggle room.
I'm just telling you what the one that I got off the website, but I can't remember where I got it. So I want to... I guess I'll have to figure out where the link is and put it right here. I mean, on number 9, put the link to the affidavit, and on number 9, I'll find out where that is.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Now, if I can for a minute, I've had to do a few affidavits, and it really is—it's strictly your word is what you're submitting as a truthful document. And all you want to do is identify yourself, and I attest to the fact that the following information is true and correct. However you want to put that verbiage, this is your truthful word. The notary is only going to notarize the fact that you're signing this document, that was your true correct signature.
Right.
Because they usually have you show your driver's license or some other identification. They're not attesting to they're not notarizing the information that's in the document. They're only notarizing that's your signature on the document.
Right.
So it really is your words.
Right.
It's what you're saying. I'm swearing to this, or I attest to this. The following is true and correct. However you choose to do it, that's the most important statement on that document. And then you go on to tell your story.
Right, and it's evidence.
That's correct. Nobody can dispute that. That is your sworn statement, and signing it as a sworn statement was notarized. It's
right.
Indisputable as being your truthful statement.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Question
anyway,
on the
thanks.
Spy.
I'm muting.
Question on spy glasses. How do you turn them on and off? Do they record audio, and for how long?
right
oh, the glasses?
On the left-hand side, they've got a little USB port, which is on the inside where you don't see it, and there's a little switch on there where it's like a you push it real fast 3 times and it starts recording. I forget the sequence, but then two times it shuts off and it gets programmed that way. But those features they're not readily visible. They're hidden against your temple, really.
Mm-hmm. How long does it record for, roughly?
Pardon?
How long does it record for?
It an hour or an hour and a half.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yes, they are awesome. They really are. I was very satisfied with them. And you know, it would take a lot of courage to go in there and use them. But if this is a real important case, I would take that chance. Just on some normal case, maybe I wouldn't. But if it were something real important, I would use them, yes.
Only $15.99, $13.99. You can't beat the price.
No, they're awesome.
and you get them on eBay?
Yeah,
I guess. Oh, there's a whole bunch of them.
On eBay.
50 of them.
Wow, we should make them available on the website and charge
them.
Sell them for $25.
donation.
Make $5 a copy on them.
yeah, that's a great idea. Now, one of the things that Jan Hull and I were talking about was actually us having our own press credentials.
And what does it take to get press credentials?
Does anybody know does anybody know about that? Like, do we just make it up on our computer, or what do we do?
I think they might have a law about impersonating something or other.
Really? Because there's a lot of journalists.
You know, they're out there to nail anyone for just about any stupid thing out there. I mean, it's ridiculous. Not that they want to discourage you, but, you know, in the wintertime, I can't afford to not be around my place. So.
Well, I actually took a course.
They tell me to stay out of jail. Do whatever you can do to stay out of jail.
Okay,
I took a course to be a travel writer. And I actually did do a trip. And I kind of had the red carpet rolled out to me. I told them I was a travel writer. And I didn't show any credentials. I was an independent writer. And then who I submit it to when I come back is my choice.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not a lie. There was no falsity. I knew how to do an article.
Okay. Well,
so I don't really know I don't really know for the courtrooms, though.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Short story. Thanks. Short story. I was down to White Sands Missile Range for 2 years on short duty. They'd run a test where they had about all of military missile compounds out in the desert. That this CIA had come in with a coat and a tie and one of the old clipboards. He walked through every secure gate there was just by wearing a tie and writing things on that clipboard, and he'd walk around and act like he's taking notes, and he walked in and out of the most secure missile bases there is.
Right.
You gotta love it. You just walk in like you own the joint. But right. Notes.
Walk in like you know what you're doing, and then, I mean, I watched this one alternative journalist. He got into the Bilderberg meeting because he had a press, tag on because he is, but he's alternative, and he just got right on through with the White House.
Yeah.
And they got him and two other guys. They wandered around the hotel for like 3 days, and they were anyway. They finally threw them out, and they actually didn't charge them anything just for them to get lost. But I think it would be interesting to Google that just to find out about that. But I love the glasses thing. And I understand, Jan Pachnik, why you what you've been going through, why you feel like every move you do, you know, they're going to nail you for it. So,
I mean, I moved my plated car from the back of my property, put a battery in there, drove it to the front, and they wrote the car up that I'm selling and put it up for sale, and they wrote me up for selling a car on private property without a dealer's license.
What?
Yep. Yep. So, yeah. I mean, hello, a plated pop-up 2005 camper in the back, not being used, I had to get rid of because they took a picture of it and labeled it basically as blight. I mean, in a blight file of with the other stuff. So it's like anything that I do, I just want to not do just anything to get locked up.
Right.
So in New York, they allow you to sell about three or four cars a year before you have to get a license.
Well, they do that over here, too. People can sell cars left and right, but me, I can't sell nothing.
Oh, wow.
You know, the guy next door to me sells firewood. If I was to put a little wagon with firewood for sale for $10, oh, forget it. You know, they'd be all over me.
Parking at your neighbor's house.
Good idea.
Hey, I had a court case, and I had three of my buddies come in, and they were all dressed up, and they were sitting in the back row. They had notepads. This was years ago. And they were just sitting there, and they were taking notes, and they were going to file affidavits doing court watching way back then. And it was really funny. It was comical because the judge kept looking over there, and the prosecutor kept looking over there. And finally, the judge said to the prosecutor, he called him up to the bench for a sidebar, and he said to him, he says, I heard him. He says, we got to be really careful on this case here, he says, because we've got some members of the ACLU who are sitting in the back.
Maybe we got the wrong name tag we're making. Maybe it should be the ACLU name tag.
There you go. It was cute.
Yeah, so I just have one more thing to point out especially since you're the more, when you talk to people, other people or new people that might want to be a member or a courtroom observer, this is how they sign up on the courtroom observer list. So they have to join, and it takes a day or two to be approved, and then they go to under courtroom observer committee, they go to join courtroom observer group, and then they click here to automatically join the courtroom observer email list and group. So that button automatically kicks them in, so they're in the list. So anyway, it took me forever to know that myself. Anyway.
And by the way, I just did that. And that's all you have to do is click on it, and it says, welcome to the courtroom observer group, because I haven't been getting some emails. So I clicked on that just in case, and it looks nice.
Yeah. So Carl just did that just a few hours ago, just to make it more plain, because when I read it, I couldn't tell that that's what it did. Anyway, so anyway, anything else?
Yes, I have something.
Yeah.
Is there any way that we could get the recordings updated on the website for downloads?
You mean the recordings for the Courtroom Observer?
Yeah.
Yeah, Carl has to put those up.
They're lacking.
Yeah, is there any? Let me see. Let me just see what's there.
The request courtroom observers is spelled wrong on that page. Observers.
I know. I've done that too. meeting recording. Where is it? Is it just one? No. It's missing a few. Okay.
Yeah.
He's really sick right now, and he has 3 hours of sleep. So I will email him and let him know to put those up. And maybe, you know, because I keep kind of taking some of the load off, I don't know if he can show me how to do that or not. I mean.
Right. I mean, IRC is also lacking, too, on their copies of the audios.
Right, and it's probably been
one was a canceled meeting, I think, and I'm not sure that the next one got recorded.
Well, he's been so busy getting the constitutional course up, that was taking up most of his time. So, I'll just ask him to put it up. But anyway, so is there anything else?
Nope, I'm good, team. Thank you.
We could get a copy of that directly, that recording, today's recording. We might have to ask Jan, I guess.
Does anybody have any cases that they might be witnessing or involved in? Or?
Yes. I'm Elena Strujan. I have a case on February 8th in the Supreme Court of New York. It's a mediation, and if somebody wants to come with me, I will appreciate.
When did you send in a request?
Yes, I sent.
You did? When?
Yes, I did. 5 days, four or 5 days before.
Elena did? Let me go to my email and just make sure you're there, because here's the thing. I think there's something going on with, because Barbara Williams, she fills out the form. I never, ever get it. And so she has to personally email me. And so I want to check on this to see what's going on with you, because I never got... I don't remember yours, so you sent it 4 or 5 days ago.
It's there. It's on the site.
It's on the site? But isn't that an old one?
That's an old one.
Yeah, it's a couple of weeks, right, in New York City.
Yep.
No,
Laura, what I think needs to happen is the people that are requesting courtroom observers, that if they don't get a response within, what we discussed this, 24 to 48 hours, they should contact you immediately.
Yeah.
By phone or Skype.
You know what? I do not have yours, Elena. I don't.
I can send again. Something has happened, because today I try to... open the courses, free classes, and I couldn't.
The what
did
account. You open?
Classes.
The
couldn't.
You mean the civics course?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Were you signed in?
Yes, I signed. My account was open. I can take the quiz, but not. I cannot read any course.
Change browsers. Go to Chrome or some other browser. Internet Explorer causes problems. It did for me.
And so, Elena?
Yes.
Or Firefox, too.
Elena, will you fill out another request? When is your court case?
February 8th.
Oh, okay. Bill, fill out another one and email me personally, too. Fill out one and then just email me at Legier. Well, actually, it's on the thing, but I'll give it to you right now. It's L-E-G-E-R-E.
Just a second, all right.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
She's on the site at on call to action, last week's number one.
Yeah. Could you say again, please?
L-E-
Yes.
G-E-R- G? Laura, L-A-U-R-A.
Can you send me an email, because it's more easy? Send me an email and I will send you back.
But I don't know what your email is. I don't have anything.
I will give you L E from Edward, L from Larry, A from Apple, N from Nancy, E from Edward.
Hold on a second. What? Okay. You want me to email you, because it's easier?
Yes.
It is? Okay.
L from Larry, A from Apple, N from Nancy, E from Edward, Elane, 23. At AOL.com.
Okay, I got it.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, on February 8th will be mediation.
Okay, so, what I'm going to do is ask you to fill out another form, and then I'm just sending it to you right now.
Thank you so much.
I'm I'm just sending you so that you've got my email. Anyway,
okay.
And so what you do is fill out another form, but copy what you did so that you have it, and just send it or send it to me in an email. I don't know that actually when you if you tried to fill in the blanks online and you copied it, if you try to put
no.
it in an email like that,
no,
it'll show up.
I didn't copy it.
Show up. What?
I didn't copy, but I will do again.
Well, what I'm saying is that when you, if you fill in the blanks online and you try to copy it and put it in an email, it doesn't show up in the email. It just shows up with a bunch of blanks.
Okay. I will.
I've had, Barbara's had to just email me personally and give me the thing so that I can send it out because I never get her forms.
Okay. I will copy and I will keep in touch with you to see if you receive.
Okay, thank you, Elena. So are we done
thank
here?
You.
She can do a screenshot, too, and cut and paste and
oh,
send.
That's good. A screenshot would be better, yeah. So I think we're about done. It's just coming on 10 o'clock now. And
perfect.
Good timing.
I'm going to close recording and for everybody.